help you finally make sense of the trending world of cryptocurrencies. So gather your virtual piggy bank and let's get started.
Hi, Drazen. Hi, Sandy. Welcome to Kryptonites Podcast. We are very excited to have you on our podcast today. And I wanted to start off with Drazen. Can you introduce yourself and then I'll go to Sandy.
Yes, of course. So I'm like an entrepreneur for the last 30 years. And in the last 15 years, I was more focused on developing socially conscious projects. You know, I started with the business school, which in 15 years become the leading business school in Southeast Europe. We have MBA programs. We are doing different consulting programs for the large companies in Europe. So far, we have 2,000 alumnus, MBAs, and almost 20,000 clients. We were the first one who started blockchain MBA program, and we also developed program, certified program for blockchain developers, because we were thinking about the future. We also have incubator inside of school, which is developing different projects, and one which emerged from all these projects was Satoru. So we focus our research, our resources, and our development for last 3 years to develop this project. This led us also to Blockchain Adria, which became the central place for blockchain ecosystem in Southeast Europe, with the conferences and association. We were also founders of AU, a blockchain hub, which just yesterday opened a branch in Kuala Lumpur. And now we are mostly focused on develop Taller and its technology called Hashnet, which will revolutionize this space. This is like blockchain 4.0, which will send it, tell you more about from this technological part. And then I will continue with the rest.
Thank you, Drazen, for that introduction. Sandy, it would be great if you can introduce yourself as well, and then let's jump into Taller.
Okay, sounds good. So, as you know, my name is Sandy. Spent some time in some great technical companies, like spent some time at Fitbit, spent some time at Google. Also been an entrepreneur, had my own company twice, startup, raised some money from European Union. Didn't go out well because the market is quite competitive. But the thing is, like, I'm mostly interested in algorithms, distributed systems, and that's the most, like, the thing I'm mostly working on at Taller, and that's it.
Oh, that is fantastic. Now, can you jump in and can you start explaining what is Taller? How did it come into being? A little bit of the backstory and how you got interested in the project?
Of course, of course. As you see, like, blockchain as a technology is quite, you know, young. And we see a lot of potential, like how it will develop, how people will use also from the developer community and for like the financial community and like all the new things which are coming up. As you can see, you had like Bitcoin first, you had Ethereum, you had some other side projects, but mostly like all of them proof of work didn't work out as well as they thought it would, because like high electricity consumption, you know, high fees, slow transaction times and all these things. And basically, like, what we figured out, like, everybody started talking about the proof of stake, like how proof of stake can, you know, make things revolutionary, how it can make it faster. And then we came up with, like, you know, the direct acyclic graph, which makes the consensus much, much faster. And on top of that, we researched like some other concepts which are like quite new, like, I don't know, Mimblewimble, if you're familiar with, like, pruning the whole blockchain, so you don't have to like store all the transactions, you just store the last state off-chain transactions, you know, and all these things. But just the proof of concept, as said, the just proof of stake direct acyclic graph technology with like the reduced redundant gossip makes everything fast, because we got like 150 200 transactions of average per node. Only with I would say a basic implementation, we have like a lot of other stuff to implement, a lot of other stuff to improve, you know, and we believe that we can deliver a great technology to the community later on. But yeah, that was the main idea. Proof of stake, direct DAG, you know, direct acyclic graph, make the consensus faster, We have some stuff if you're interested, I can deep into like how the stuff works. I know.
I just wanted to clarify, you meant 150 to 200,000.
1,000K, yeah, K.
You just exactly. Next to K.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah.
Sorry. So, absolutely, that is pretty good. So, can you explain how the directed acyclic graph actually helps in.
Okay. Okay, so basically, the first thing, you have like unlimited number of masternodes, and you don't trust anybody in the network. Like when somebody sends you the events, basically what you do, you ask a masternode, hello, I have these events, can you send me the difference? Like all the events I haven't seen before. And then it sends all the events, and you basically don't trust anybody. You just like verify all the signatures with all the public keys, etc. And you build your own representation of the hashnet. And basically what happens, all the nodes across the network can calculate the same hashnet. And based on that, they can make the consensus. And like, what's here fast? Because like you have simple stuff, like, I don't know, breadth first search and like all these things, which like mathematically, like I can, like, I don't want to go like really deep into like, you can read the white paper, like how the stuff works. But that's the main idea. You don't trust anybody. You can calculate all the stuff on your own. And basically what happens, like when you calculate some stuff, when you agree on some events, it's the same as Bitcoin. Like if you ask a masternode, give me what events are agreed on, it will get the consensus timestamp. It will say like all these things are ordered in the way. And we basically make a blockchain from that. And why are we doing that? Like, why are we using the blockchain still? Like we are using a different consensus algorithm because it's obviously faster, but like using a blockchain as a way of storing the data, as a distributed database. On top of that, you can run like EVM really easily because like EVM, if you like look at it, like the C++ Ethereum virtual machine, they have like put a transaction in that way. You know, we have the UTXO transaction system. So like input outputs as Bitcoin has it, as Ethereum has. So we can easily port EVM on top of that. And that's basically the biggest thing what blockchain was about, like Ethereum was about. Like if you provide people to run smart contracts, so you don't have to trust anybody. That's the biggest, you know, benefit. Like you will have developers, you will have banks adopting it, but they'll not adopt it if it's so slow, you know. If you have to wait like, I don't know, 1 day, 1 hour, 10 minutes for your smart contract to run, you know, that's not efficient. And like with the consensus algorithm and the EVM on top of it, well, we can do that. And we don't have to reinvent the wheel because like writing a EVM is quite hard. They have like 32,000 commits. They have tested it out. It works. There's like a community of developers who uses it, you know. So we just want to change the basics of how the tech works underlying. So yeah, I hope I answered your question on the general, you know.
Yes, and then the implications, right? So one of the things I was quickly scanning through your white paper, one of the things you talk about is quantum resistance. Do you want to talk a little bit about how that is enabled here?
Yeah, so I'm not probably the best person to answer this question because I'm not a security quantum engineer. So I don't want to say like something technical and be wrong then because I don't know enough about it. But in general, like there are, like as you know, like the Shor's algorithm, like if we get to a quantum computer in the next, I don't know, 10 years, 20 years, and like people implement the Shor's algorithm, they'll be able to crack all the encryption and all this stuff. But there are some proven algorithms which work, work. Like, I don't know, the lattice algorithm.
But I did want to know a little bit about how you implemented the masternodes. Can you talk a little bit about the masternodes? Who can be running a masternode?
So basically the concept is like, first you have like some masternodes on the network, and when you want to connect on the network as a new masternode, you have to like deposit $500K of dollars. So basically what you do, you send a transaction, okay? From this wallet, and I don't know, this IP address, it has to be a static IP address. I'll be a masternode. And then when a consensus comes, the 2/3 of the networks agrees on that transaction. Basically, then your stake is counted in. And the same thing, like when you want to deregister a masternode and you want to get your money back to your wallet or your public, actually private, like your wallet or like how do you call it? Then you send another transaction. Like I would like to get my money back because like all the money supply which you send as a masternode, it's locked. So you cannot use it. You cannot spend it at this moment. Later on, we were thinking about like you just give a public address. And then based on, you sign it with your private key and then you send the transaction. And then if you spend more than 500 Ks, then we just deregister you automatically. But for now, it's locked. So basically, like when you send the transaction in the network, you lock your funds. And then you with this IP address, you can send packets to the rest of the network. That's the basic way.
And 500K, is that in dollars worth of Tolar?
Tolar. 500k tolars.
Okay.
Like and the price at this point would be like, 50k dollars.
Got it.
Okay.
I just wanted to understand that's a stake, right? And what is the benefit for the masternode?
So basically you get, every time, for like every event, which is agreed on, if you had a part of it, like sending it or something, you get a fee.
Got it. And that fee is a percentage for all the, there'll be a set of winning masternodes, I'm assuming, and the reward is
exactly. So it'll be split. At this point, it will be split around the masternodes. But later on, we are thinking about like adding, maybe reputation system, how much work did you do, and like something like this. But now it's like split equally between the masternodes who got the transactions. So that's it for now. As we use the EVM, like that's like some prototype, and like in the next 2 weeks, I think it will be maybe announced and like working, so people can test it out. We use like the same concept, like with the gas, as Ethereum does. Like you can add more gas, and then you're more likely to get the contract. The amount of money will be split between the masternodes, etc. So. You can give an initiative to masternodes, a higher initiative as a supporter or whatever you want, So that's the idea. Now it's like, fixed amount. And split across all of them, so.
Makes sense. So my last question to you on the technology side, I don't know if you will answer this or Razan, is what is the status of, is the technology already built? Are you in the process of building it? Will you be building it in future? So can you give me a little bit of an idea of what is the status of the technology itself?
So at this point, we have a proof of concept, which we actually deployed on a testnet. And still, it's not public. Like, people cannot use it. But, like, we had a demo 2-3 weeks ago. But we plan to, in the next 2 or 3 weeks, we plan to open source a devnet. So everybody can just go on Git, clone the code, and test it locally on one machine, or deploy their own testnet if they want. So hopefully in a few weeks. But now it's running, And of course, like we'll need for the mainnet, we'll need quite some time because like we are working on Mimblewimble. We have to take all the security audits, make sure that some stuff doesn't happen, like as it happened to EOS or like you see Eternity. Who delayed the mainnet, and I believe that's a good idea. Probably, please delay the mainnet if it's not ready, and because there's a hard problems like forks and like cheating the system, money supply, money economics, like all these things have to be really, really settled and tested in an environment who people using it as a testnet and something like this. So don't deploy the mainnet if it's not secure first, because you don't want to lose people's money, because people get angry then, and it's not good for you, it's not good for the company, it's not good for the community as well. So for us, I think like in the end of this year we'll have a stable mainnet, but we will mostly focus on the security audits, making sure that we don't make a mistake as many other did. So
yes. But what are you happy with? You built a proof of concept and a demo, but maybe that's a follow-on question. what was the purpose and were you quite happy with the progress that you achieved there? What were the things you were able to prove with your demo?
Exactly. Well, first of all, we proved that there's a, like 200K can be possible. Because like everybody was talking about like, oh, we use DAG, we use whatever, we use that, we use proof of history, proof of I don't know, whatever. Yeah. And nobody actually said like, okay, we have a running demo which people can download and test it out, you know. And that was the, for us, that was the main, you know, like, let's make it first and then show it to people and, you know, just not like issue a white paper and then you never deliver, you know. We first wanted to make sure that like from the engineering perspective, it can be done. And that was the proof of concept we were working. Like we didn't fork anything like many do. Like they, I don't know, you have like 1,000 ICOs who are forks of, I don't know, whatever project. And then they change some stuff. The payload is 0 bytes or like whatever. And then they say we have something. No, we developed the whole technology from scratch, I would say. Of course, we use like some stuff. Like we use like Google technology, Bazel. We use GFlex, GTest, LevelDB. Like pretty much all the stack we're using is like a well-known stack, Google based. So, you know, we just wanted to make it sure like it can be possible and we can do it. And of course, yeah, the security stuff, the scaling stuff, it'll be some more work and we can optimize stuff. But yeah, that's how I would answer the question if that satisfies you, you know.
Yes, yes. And sorry, I had a final question on you with you is that do you have an approximate timeline for the mainnet release and launch or not yet?
I think on the website we say next year, Q3.
Okay.
I think that was the original idea.
Got it.
So yeah, hopefully that happens on time as we did everything so far. But yeah, security first, you know, and making that everything's right so we don't lose funds on the way and have issues and security bugs. Because now as well, it's like from my perspective, there's like well-known exploits you can test, but like the Rectic Acyclic Graph is still a new technology, so probably there's like new exploits you can do there, which people maybe didn't think about, but like we are really working hard on getting things really right. So yeah.
All right. Thank you, Sandy. I really appreciate your time. I know you had to run. I will continue with Drazen, but I appreciate you joining the call.
No worries. Yeah, no worries. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for your time. I hope I answered all your questions from the technical side. And yeah, Drazen will be better on the business side. He knows the business side. I'm just the tech guy. So
Drazen, what is your primary motivation behind Toller? What is who are you competing or trying to improve? Are you a competition to Bitcoin or Ethereum or EOS? Who are you competing with, or what is the purpose behind Toller? Obviously, that for somebody like you to take on a project of this size, it has to be something that you see as a big vision in the future.
Yeah, we have a really big vision, you know. Who we see like main competitors, this would be like Hyperledger from IBM and also Ethereum. So, of course, Hashgraph will come in the future. They will be very strong since they will collect a lot of money and they have big support from the big organization in rich companies. But we still think that we can compete to them, you know. Maybe not in all markets, but certainly on some markets. So if you think that what Hyperledger is doing, they are doing real projects for the companies and for governments, and they're doing this quite well on technology which is not so good as ours, and it's also energy consuming. And if you think about Ethereum, they are very successful in launching hundreds and maybe now thousands of ICO because it's very simple. But still, all these ICOs, most of them, like maybe more than 90%, will not live up to deliver some useful applications. And we think that there will be some useful applications which can be developed, and we are also start developing them. We also believe that we can offer to the governments much competitive service than Hyperledger, with lower cost and better efficiency. So they are doing real large projects, like in hundreds of millions. So probably we will not do hundreds of millions size project in the first years, but yeah, we can start with the millions and then build up, you know, since we really have this technology which can be superior to theirs. And we, let's say, smash it. We are first in the world who even show more than 100,000 TPS. We were like predicting 100,000. We were like getting 150,000 on multiple nodes. It was 11 nodes spread over all continents. So far, this at least make us different than any other projects so far in the world. And this is very appealing, that when you are first in something, you know. For instance, one of my past projects, which is finished, but we didn't launch it, is the first business museum in the world, you know. If you think about the business, how business is important and shape the world as it is right now. For last 5,000 years, they were like business and war, which were shaping the world. And you have like maybe hundreds of war museums, you have thousands of different museums, and nobody so far make a business museum. And we have like materials which reach thousands of years ago until the 17th century, covering the whole world. And this is very interesting stuff. My school name is Cotrulli Business School. And who was Cotrulli? Cotrulli was the guy who first time in the world in 15th century mentioned in a book, Art of Trade, double entry bookkeeping. And this is about ledgers, you know, or history of ledgers, which come long time ago into past and come to the blockchain, you know. And we believe that Hashnet is a future ledger. And so this is very interesting stuff. And you're in position in life that you can do stuff what you like and what are the challenges, this is really good, and we are in this position. So this is in short.
You're scaling tremendously so that you can handle very, very large scale projects.
Yeah. And there are plenty of applications with niche, big throughput and scaling. Because if you notice, Ethereum can't handle any scaling. You know, this is like, even these CryptoKitties can run on it. So imagine, there are like plenty of stuff which can be done for communities, for the countries, and you can't do it. And even for the banks, if you think how much banks are losing on settlement between them, they are like billions and billions of dollars, and they are trying to develop different systems and applications, forks, whatever, and they so far didn't able to come to solution. Also, if you think about exchanges, they are not running on blockchain, because blockchain can't handle this amount of transactions, and now our technology will be able to run this for them and also for the banks. So there are like plenty of opportunities. You know, we are creating the our own SDK now, and also we hire additional developers to speed this up, you know, for this second layer. And in third layer, you have like different applications which we are starting piloting. You know, I can also explain this. So.
Yeah, because I want to talk for a minute about, because all of the applications being very large scale, you're able to scale and become very, still be very fast. 150,000 transactions per second is probably the highest I have ever.
It will be like more than 200,000 on the mainnet. Quite more, you know, but we also want to play conservative, you know. Mainnet will be ready for launch in the end of this year, but we also want to test it. We don't want to repeat some, let's say, stuff like IOTA when they put something out and it's not working and full of bugs. So we want to test it properly and then launch it in quarter two next year.
Yeah, I understand that. So that's exciting. To me, because one of the things that's a challenge is we have centralized exchanges like Coinbase, for example, which don't make any sense at all in this decentralized world. But then there are these decentralized exchanges, but they're not running on blockchain, like you said.
But also centralized doesn't run on blockchain. It's the same.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm decentralization around, but this becomes still not. But okay, this can change in the future. This is going into our favor. This is opportunity. This is not a problem for us.
Yes. Yeah. So if you look at the decentralized exchanges as an example, how do you look at something like Toller handling multiple currencies, multiple tokens, and still scaling? How do you do that?
Actually, this is also the question I will not be able to answer because I'm not like very tech savvy. You know, I'm afraid that I will give you something, some wrong answer. So but maybe if you have this type of questions, you can put a note and we will respond to them.
And I can attach it. CC Trade is very flexible. So I can send you, I will make sure after I stop this recording, I will take your number and I will send you a couple of questions that I can get your technical people to send me audio answers. You know, they can just use WhatsApp and press a button, record it, send it to me. I can integrate that. I just want to make sure that, you know, people that our audiences are more interested in understanding. So, and you know, I also wanted to now switch gears and talk a little bit about your ICO because you've been already pretty successful in my opinion, because last year was a bull market. Everybody could raise money, but this year is a bear market. People who are able to raise money today are really good projects in my opinion. And you were giving me some numbers about what has already happened and how much you have already raised in terms of money. And you said you already met your soft cap. Can you give us a little bit of your current progress in the ICO side?
We are now in a half of this whole cycle. So we are in the pre-sale phase. We reach a soft cap of 20,000 meters. Our hard cap is 45,000 meters. So we will be running ICO in September, so we still have time. Now we are getting more and more traction. You know, we will have MMA with Jan Balina next week, with some other people also soon, also getting more attention from other viewers and communities. So, you know, it is, we are not ideally situated in this part of the Europe, you know, maybe we will have more attention if we are in States or China or Korea, of course. But still, we are like underdog so far. And like similar like Croatia in a World Cup football, you know, so but still come to the top. So we also believe that we have a strength to come to the top of this.
I mean, you already did pretty well. I mean, raising 20,000 ethers is not a joke because it's almost like $10 million, right? $10 million.
And you know, also what is good because we have existing business. You know, we can finance this without any ICO. You know, we are able to deliver technology without any funding, but you need to have an ICO in order to properly scale it, you know, with as much as money you can, we will be much faster in scaling. This is, and the technology is one part, but if somebody do it before you in a much bigger scale, then it's not so good, you know, you want to scale it in different governments, in different companies, and different ICOs. That's why you need as much as money you have, you can do it much faster. You know, it's in this war, let's say, money is like a fuel and ammunition. You know.
And how many? So your hard cap is 45,000 ethers, which is roughly 22, 23 million, depending upon the price as of then. And you're going to be doing, so you already finished half of it, 20,000, about 25,000 ethers.
Almost.
Yeah, so you'll be starting doing that in September. I get all of that. So what is your total cap on the number of tollers that you will be, is there a cap on, or is there a limit on the size of the number?
We are issuing 1 billion tollers.
And at what price are you selling the tollers right now?
So we are now in a pre-sale.
Okay.
We have for contributions of more than 50, we have a price of 0.00012 0879, which includes 20% bonus in price. For contribution between 10 to 39, we have a price 0.0001381868, which includes 10% bonus in price. And ICO price be 0.00014505, which have no bonus. And what is also important to point is that 20% is maximum bonus. They didn't give a bigger bonus to no one. Even tokens from teams are locked for 24 months, and advisors are paid in it, not in dollars. So to avoid any possibility of large dumping of change. Because you know the current scenario of successful ICO is that 80% go to VCs who have like very large bonuses, then maybe 10% go to the private pools, and then 10% to ICO, which actually leads to the dumping to the small number of people in this bear market. You know, before it was very easy while orchestra was playing, but now it's a very hard situation, and I believe that the good projects will survive and the rest will not survive so light like they did in the past.
Yeah, I agree with you. So let's fast forward a little bit. I'm also interested in talking about what happens. ICO is just the beginning. Mm-hmm. So let's say by the end of September, you reached your hard cap and you raised your 45,000 Ethereum. Can you give us what happens after that? What is an approximate timeline that you have in mind for the business of Tolar?
Yeah, we are right now working on one a new ICO for the next year, which will be built on top of Hashnet. It will also increase demand for Tolars because you will be able to participate in on with the Tolars, and I think this will be a great project with global impact, which also go in line with UN sustainable goals. We are hiring new people. We have a very important guy coming to us from 1st of August who did stuff in governments, you know, and in communities. So yeah, we hiring also these new developers to speed up with the development of our SDKs, and also talking with some partners, which are big system integrators and IT companies, which will help us that we build together some stuff and then after that scale it much faster, because they already have sales contact and reach to the right governments and right companies. Yeah.
What is the strategies you're using to make this very popular? Because I think your community building is going to be a critical component. So what is your strategy for community building? I was asking about the strategy for community building because the more people that are involved in Tolar, the more will be the success of Tolar.
Yeah, of course. So far we have like 13,000 people in our Telegram group. We, as a school, have 100,000 fans, for instance, on Facebook. So far, we didn't have any bounty campaign. We grow mostly organically. Now we just started yesterday with our global world tour. Every day, practically, we are in some city. You know, that's why some guys are not here with us. Yesterday we were in Kuala Lumpur and in Seoul, yeah. And then we are going like Singapore. There are like 10 different, 15 actually towns in Asia. Also the Australia, Canada. This is one point. We will also open a new channel for the bounty. So this will hopefully also increase the number of community in our Telegram groups. We also start with marketing. recently, like 2 weeks ago. So far, we didn't have so much marketing, and this also bring results. We have like, I think now like almost 2,000 new visitors on our web page every day. So, we have like eight, I think now, admins who are dealing this with the community, and we will also, they're mostly coming from our region, but we will have also local people. We translate our web page and white paper on 10 different languages. And also the investors will carefully choose in different regions. So they will help us with establishing community in their regions. And also this thing with the system integrators as a future partners, they also have communities, marketing department and so on. So we are also talking with some bigger, like top 10 IT companies, you know, also to speed up stuff. So yeah, there are plenty of work in progress and plenty of things in the pipeline.
That's wonderful.
Maybe I can tell you, if you're interested, to mention something about the use cases, you know?
I'm very interested in the use cases and examples. Can you please give us some of the examples of the use cases?
Yeah, so we are planning to use like this platform in different vertical markets, because as I already told, using Tolo platform based on HashNet protocol, we can provide new features like scalability, high processing speed, security, compared to the present blockchain platforms. However, our main goal of development is to create ecosystem of solutions and partners that will use this new technology to solve problems with existing systems or provide new functionality that was never available before so far. So we have like several several examples I'll give. Our approach will be like mostly collaborate with biggest ICT companies in selected countries on different projects. And provide like for starts focused on the most innovative areas like IoT, logistics, healthcare, and government. So for instance, we need to first let's say healthcare. So in healthcare, we can provide a solution that will keep medical records secure and prevent any unauthorized access while providing high performance and ease of use to all parties that are using it. Main advantage in the case is well documented and easy to use update that doesn't require previous knowledge of ledger technologies and can be used by all parties providing IT solutions in healthcare using them, plenty of those. And yeah, actually, you know, as I mentioned to you, we have like 2,000 MBAs alumni, which are like a sort of tribe, and they are working as managers in many of leading healthcare industry in the world, almost all. So in supply chain in logistics, we can enable supply chain management exchange between tiers using open centralized network and distributed ledger, which holds information on every transaction and performance history for all engaged parties. This information gives control of real-time information to two parties so they can optimize process and save both time and resources for the all transactions. The possibilities of reducing cost are here, and all other stuff are enormous. Procurement process using Tolo platform and open network for buyers and selling using distributed ledger, which holds information of reputation, execution of and sourcing history for including partners. The information with both buyers and sellers power to publish tenders and choose on which tenders to apply using distributed network. Fully digital without any need to all address low channels, tender can be closed in a matter of hours and days, not weeks, using this scalable, efficient, and decentralized solution for governments. We have like, this is our maybe focus, you know, right now, because can't do all the stuff, but we have plenty of other cases, but from all I mentioned, this is like the top one. Is to build like trust through open, transparent and collaborative network. This network can enable moving from bureaucracy into transparent and collaborative ecosystem, which citizens will interact easily using all the available digital channels for all their needs. The government agency and Toller API will enable the business partners to quickly build and deploy new applications in government ecosystem. So, let's say for Minister of Health of one country, what is a pilot? Yeah, this is what mostly I say. And for telecom, also we have the as part of new IT narrowband network deployed by partner. What already have for all sorts of IT devices distributed ledger with high speed and security, like all of them have to register, authenticate and track all devices connected to the network and publish relevant information to the public space, like weather data from sensors. Using Toller, there is no need for expensive interfaces in private networks, so data can be stored securely in public apps and then used accordingly to the level of privacy required. This is just some examples. We are much focused on building communities. This is what we are doing for last 15 years, and we want to put this now on a much higher level.
Makes a lot of sense. Very exciting. And are there other questions that I probably did not ask? Any other key points you want to mention to our audience? And also, can you direct them if they want more information? What is the website? What is the Telegram group? Can you give us a
point? This is like Toller. Is our website. There you can find the links on our Telegram group, our Twitter, our Medium. We are every day now publishing articles from the conferences. What I think is very important, you know, in this market, maybe 90 something, I don't want to say how much projects are not for real, you know, maybe 0.5% of projects have MVP, you know, and no one so far ever reached and show 150,000 transaction on multiple nodes. You know, a lot of people are telling, but nobody is showing this. And also, in terms of ICO, it's very important that our maximum bonus was 20%. You know, it is not that, because seed capital come from us, you know, and it's not the same when you have like first year, which gave like 1000%, then the second year, like 500, 300, or maybe even 200 is a lot, 100 is a lot, and then they are happy when they reach, when they sell for ICO price on the small holders, you know. So as blockchain need to be like fair, secure, fast, our background, I think speak for ourselves that we are also like that. And most important is to be fair and honest, you know. So this is like, I think our main advantage than others. So we are probably the underdog comparing to this competition, but we will certainly find ourselves, our position on the market, and it will not be the bad position in the time to come.
Fantastic. Well, definitely wish you and your team the very best. It's been a pleasure. Razan, I'm glad I reached out to you, and thank you for joining our podcast. And I request all our audience to head over to www.tolar.io. Of course, CryptoKnights is never endorsing any. We just want to provide you information. That's a disclaimer. And then make sure you go to iTunes and Google Play and rate us 5 stars. So with that, I wish you all the best, Razan. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Knights. Never miss an episode. Subscribe now at www.cryptoknights.io.